So, my name is James. It is my privilege to pastor this church. It is my privilege to share with you the message today. Now, before I do so, I ask you once again just to bow your heads, to close your eyes in prayer, and really let's once again commit this time into the Lord's hands. Heavenly Father, to you alone be the glory. Praise the Father. Praise the Son, praise the Holy Spirit. We thank you so much, Father, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that it is your Holy Spirit who does give us that comfort, who does encourage us, who does empower us. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would pierce our souls today, that you would speak into our hearts through your word. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. So we're going to find ourselves camped out in one verse today. We're going to look at the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 12. The title of this is The Good Fight. This is a verse which is very relevant, very pertinent to the times that we live in today. To give us a bit of the context around it, I'm actually going to read the verses around it. So if you have a Bible, I invite you please to open it up. I hope you've brought your Bibles to church today. We're going to find ourselves in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I will read for us verses 11 to 16. We'll focus on verse 12. In the NIV translation, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time, God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. So we're going to take today three things from our text today. The first one is, you are in a fight. Whether you like it or not, if you are a Christian, you are in a fight. Secondly, second thing to take from our text today, the fight is a good fight. Thirdly, we're going to look practical applications, how to fight successfully. So firstly, you are in a fight. Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith. Now, upon hearing this, the first reaction, the first cry of my flesh is, I don't want to be in a fight. Can I just have an easy life, please? Is that too hard to ask? I think that there is a fleshly dream within me, for sure, I would say within most of us, that we hope to be able to go through life without any conflicts, without any struggles, without any problems, on a pillow of comfort, just sailing through. So to hear that you're in a fight pretty much wakes us up out of that dream, right? Because if there is anything that is the opposite of an easy life, it is being in a fight. Now, just to show us that this scripture today is not an isolated part of scripture, that the New Testament constantly tells you, Christian, you are in a struggle, you are in a conflict, let me just draw our attention to a couple of other verses which also point this out. Philippians 1, 29 to 30 also has this language about it. Paul writes, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. And then the imagery gets harder in Paul's second letter to Timothy, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So now we are not only in a fight, you're a soldier in a fight. Now, how exactly is that the case? How is being a Christian, following Jesus, having faith in him, how is that like being in a fight? And what are you fighting against? Well, I want to draw our attention to two things, at least, that we are fighting against. Firstly, I tried to make it shorter, but you're just going to have to read a long sentence. You're in a fight against worldly passions, or you could say sinful desires, and the spiritual forces of evil. And, Christian, you are in a fight not to get swallowed up or sucked in by our secular culture and then start compromising on truth. So firstly, let's take a little look at the first one. You're in a fight against worldly passions. This is a fight we have been involved in, and Scripture really presses this home. In the verses before we read, Paul tells Timothy, he warns Timothy about the love of money. And he warns him, don't be seduced by the kind of teaching that you secretly want to hear, to have itchy ears for that kind of teaching. Again, let me get some other texts in here that have this language about it, because the Apostle Peter also uses this kind of conflict war language when he says this. He says, 1 Peter 2, chapter 11, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Sinful desires are not knocking on the door. Ooh, can I, you know, what about this? No, they're waging war against your soul. That's why Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, says, put to death then. If you're in a fight, if you're in a war, if sinful desires are waging a war against you, it's time to get serious. It's time to put sin to death. Colossians 3:5, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Jesus also uses strong language, hyperbole language, but strong language to tell us this fight against sin is serious. Matthew 5, verse 29 says this, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. He's not calling for self-mutilation. He's calling for self-control. But the point is, how far are you willing to go? This is a serious fight you are in. Now, here's a question for us to think about. What kind of victory is realistically possible in this fight you are in? Can you really put sin to death so that you never struggle? You just kill it, and then you can go on and live that dream, easy, comfortable life. Well, the answer is no. A couple of things for us to consider. Firstly, 1 John says this. 1 John 1 says this. If we say we have no sin in us, then we are liars. And Ephesians 6 also says, you're in a fight against the spiritual forces of evil. And so, as long as you and I are living in this earthly body, in this fallen world, where the prince of the air still has some power, you will be in a fight. You will be in a struggle. Yet, whilst we cannot completely eradicate the roots of sin, and you will lose some battles, Christian, take heart, as we can have some victories over sin. If you are in a dungeon and it looks like you cannot get out, you are trapped in some specific sin, that just goes round and round and round. And you're here today. I want to tell you, there is hope. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. Time and time again, we hear testimonies of Christians being set free from a specific sin. The struggle carries on, but you can have victory. I'm also can give testimony to that. I have done. I have been set free from a couple of addictions in my life. The struggle carries on, but there is hope. Now, if you're in a fight, something that's really good to have in any fight is to have some friends fighting with you. I just had the image. I'm not really a fan of wrestling, but I really like the tag wrestling. When one guy comes in, he's had too much, the other guy comes in. And that's always the best bit of movies. I don't know about you, but if you're watching a movie or a book, and it looks like the good guy, he's fighting some monster or some bad dude or whatever, and it looks like he's going to lose the fight. But suddenly, ta-da, all of his friends come in, they fly in, they kind of run in, and then suddenly, boom, he's got some help. And Christian, you are also to look around your fellow brothers and sisters and see if somebody is struggling and somebody is getting knocked down again and again in that fight, and you are to help bring them back up. You are to restore them. You are not in an isolated fight. We're not all fighting alone, not looking around. Scripture tells us, if you see a fellow brother and sister, go to his aid. Galatians 6:1 tells us that. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person. Not ignore that person. Restore that person gently, but watch out. Guard your own heart whilst you're at it. Be careful. Watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. You're not in the fight alone. If it feels that you can't get out, you're in that pit, and it feels like you cannot get out of it, humble yourself. Humble yourself and ask a trusted brother or sister for help. You're not meant to fight alone. If you're doing all right, look around. Where could you be of support to a fellow brother or sister? Well, you're not in a fight alone. So you're in a fight against sinful desires, against the old man, the flesh. You are also in a fight you're in a fight not to get swallowed up by our secular culture and start compromising on truth. Now, this is really big. And the truth is actually, to give you a little heads up, in the future months to come, we will spend a little time thinking about and looking what Scripture says about what it means to be a Christian and the culture around us. We are in an intense fight at the moment, intensely engaged. Now, for many hundreds of years, in Western culture, we have been rooted in Christian values. We're not all, it's not like 2,000 years of singing Kumbaya together, like, well, it's just what a wonderful time. But we have had Christian values as an underpinning of our society. Yet those Christian values in the West have really now been eroded. So we are on shaky ground. Because when a country no longer has shared beliefs, shared practices, then it is in conflict. It is an ideological conflict. And so you may have heard the term a lot, culture war. These are culture war. Because what do we believe then? What are our shared beliefs? So the world, the culture around you does not share your values on issues like abortion, on issues like sexuality, on issues like gender, on issues like pornography and drug use. So, Christian, if the culture around you does not share your values, staying true to the Bible may mean you will be persecuted. It may mean that you offend other people. So what do you do? Do you start reading the Bible differently now? Do you, in the aim of being relevant to the culture, start compromising on truth and start reading it differently now? You could, and it is very tempting, to go into a field somewhere and just be a hermit for the next 40 years and just shut yourself off from what is going on in the world around you. But we are not to do that. Jesus describes you and me as salt and light. You're not to put a bowl over your light. You're to be salty. Matthew 5, verse 13 tells us this. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, well, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." If everybody likes you, if everybody likes you, nobody is ever offended by you, how can you be salty? If you go into one meeting or you speak to one group of friends and you totally agree with what they're saying, then you go into another meeting or another group of friends, they're saying the exact opposite, but you, again, totally agree with what they're saying. That is not salty. That is lacking integrity. That's tough, though. And I understand that. That's hard. But that's what being salty is. Speaking up when you should. We are not to be some kind of bland, mild spice like turmeric. Do you know what turmeric is? Our Indian friends may know what that is. It's a kind of a spice. It's a very bland, mild spice that basically you can put in anything. You can put it in rice, porridge, stews, cakes, and it just makes the ingredients go a little bit yellow. Right? I'm sure it tastes of something, but not very much. You're not to live a yellow, turmeric-y life, bland. Everything is just the same. You're to be salty. We are to be salt. Now, here's one very quick aside, one quick thought of what that might look like for you and I to be a little bit salty in how we engage with people who don't believe in Jesus, with non-believers. There is a pastor in America called Mark Dever, and he says, when you want to share the gospel with somebody, you basically have two choices. You can either go up to them and you can share the similarities that you have with them, or you can share the differences that you have with them. You could say, for example, "Wow, we are so the same. You like that kind of music? We like that kind of music too. You like that social cause? We like that social cause too. We're pretty much the same, you know." And if you can, casually throw the gospel in there somewhere. The aim is, don't offend them. Make sure they're your friends, and then, you know, when they're good and ready, maybe you tell them about Jesus. The problem with that approach, it has merits. That approach has merits. We are to build bridges. There's a whole church movement behind it. The problem is this, Christian. The gospel is offensive. Telling somebody that a loving, holy, good God will not tolerate sin, and if you live a sinful lifestyle, you're going to hell, usually does not go down very well. And so, we cannot hold back from it. The other approach is to say our differences. And you can do that lovingly, gently, but a little bit salty. To say something like, "You know what? Man, we are so different. You and I, we're different. I'm trying to live my life like this because of Jesus, and I know that God has so much more in store for you." If we're just the same, why does the person need Jesus? People, non-believers, come to church because they are searching. Let's not give them the same thing the culture gives them. So, you're in a fight. I hope you've been woken up. You're in a fight. It's against your sinful desires that wage war against your soul. And now, more than ever, it is a fight not to compromise on biblical truth and start reading the Bible totally differently now. The fight is a good fight. Let's look at the second part. The fight is a good fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. So, The fight is a good fight because it's worth fighting. That's why it's a good fight. Some fights in life are not worth fighting. If you're in the checkout in Aldi and you're waiting and you hear those magic words, Kasse eins bitte, and some guy behind you zooms in behind you and he goes there, it is not worth getting that guy, forcibly bringing him back into line so you can rightfully take your place, much as you would like to do that. That's not a fight worth fighting. Some fights are worth fighting. The fight we are in is worth fighting. Why? Firstly, because you have a good captain. You have a good captain, you have a good commander who cares for every one of his army with infinite care, who promises never to leave you. This good captain has given you and I good weapons to fight. He has given you the weapon of his word. Let us not compromise on it. Jesus himself, in the fight against the devil, uses scripture in that fight. Jesus himself intercedes for you day and night, standing in the gap. What a captain that is. He has also given to you the Holy Spirit. So much better, Jesus told his disciples, it is so much better for you that I go, because then I will give you the Holy Spirit. Why is that better? Well, surely it is better that he is always with us, better than his bodily presence. So you now have the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, a spirit of self-control, of love, in you now, encouraging you, empowering you over that fight against the sinful desires. It is also a good fight because it has eternal value. What you do here on earth matters. It matters. There is a good movie that I watched in the cinema about 20 years ago. It's a real guy's movie. Every guy has to watch this movie, Gladiator. You guys watch that movie? That is an amazing movie. Russell Crowe plays General Maximus, right? And in the first 5 minutes of this movie, there's one of these speeches that you see sometimes in war movies where the leader is trying to rally the troops. Come on, guys, we're going to beat those guys. This has got one of the best speeches of all time, basically. I could quote it for you, but I'm going to quote the last line from it. He says this, "Brothers, what we do in this life echoes in eternity." Boom. Yeah, you can feel that. It's like, man, I'm going to fight. I want to fight with this guy. The hair is on the end. Like, yeah, I'm going to fight. Yeah, that's a great line. Okay, it's just from a movie. But there is a lot of truth actually in that line. There is a lot of truth in that. What it does not mean, it does not mean that we have to do lots of good deeds in this life to earn eternity, to earn eternal life. If you are a Christian, eternal life is yours. It is already yours. What it's about is this. Paul tells Timothy, take a hold of the eternal life. That means take possession of it. It's yours already. And let that motivate you. Let it stir you on to share the gospel with others. You are not meant to sit in a field and just wait to go to heaven, because the devil is claiming lives. He is snatching up the seed that was sown. You can see brothers and sisters, casualties on the battlefield, so you are to get on that battlefield. You're not to be passive, but with the eternal perspective, eternal life is mine. That helps you, that frees you up to fight, to know the victory has already been won. Jesus has already won it. So I'm on this battlefield. I'm pursuing godliness. I'm restoring my brother and sister. I'm sharing the good news. C.S. Lewis sums it up very well. Our quote for this week is a wonderful quote from C.S. Lewis, which basically says what I'm trying to say. He says this, If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. So it is a good fight. Why? Because you have a good captain. You have a good leader who cares for all of his army. It is a good fight because it has eternal value. Last thing to look at, how to fight successfully. Let me read for us our text one more time. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So what have we learned? We've learned you're always in this world, in this life, in this fight. The question is, how do you keep going? How do you keep going? Claiming victories over sin, staying true and not compromising on the Bible until you reach the end. Until you reach the end, and you can say what Paul also said to Timothy. In 2 Timothy, chapter 4, 7 to 8, in his final words, this was Paul's last letter, just before he died, he says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Don't you want to say that before you die? If the Lord chooses to bless it for me, that there are people around me before I die, I also want to say those words. I have fought the good fight, Lord. So how do we do what Paul tells Timothy to do and then did himself? How do we fight successfully? First thing, be active, not passive. You can't just sit around. Be active. Three short practical applications for those of us who are in the fight. For those of us, yeah, I'm going to be active. Three short applications. First one, keep an eternal perspective. Second one, keep your conscience clear. Third one, keep your eyes fixed on your captain. Just three. There are many. But here's just three, just for today, just to keep in our mind. I want us to keep in mind what Paul tells Timothy. Take hold of that eternal life. The Greek means get a grip on it, Timothy. Take possession of it. It changes your whole outlook when you realize God's already qualified you. You're already qualified. That's grace. That helps me to confess my sins and helps me not to cover them up, knowing that, man, I've already been qualified. It helps to know Jesus has already won the victory. I've already got eternal life. The key is, and this may seem like some kind of spiritual thing, but this is real. The key is keep it in mind. Don't look down in the valley all the time. I'm in the fight. Look up and set your mind on things above. That's what Paul says in Colossians 3. This is one of my favorite verses. I'm sure I've shared it before. But Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. In the NLT it says, think about the things of heaven. I like that. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So that's the first application. Keep that perspective. Secondly, keep your conscience clear. Now, what Paul says to Timothy in our text in chapter 6, actually, he says before in chapter 1, but I didn't want to read the whole of the 6 chapters. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says something very similar to Timothy. And also, he tells him how to fight the battle well. So that's an important verse for us to look at. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 18 to 19 says this. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. He tells Timothy, here's how you fight the battle well. Remember your divine calling, Timothy. If prophecies have been spoken over you, remember them. Remember where you have come from, where the Lord has brought you out of. Hold on to the faith, guard it, and pray for more. And what I want to emphasize to you is the last bit, and a good conscience. Man, that is convicting. But I'm telling you something, the Lord often speaks to you and me through that small little voice of our conscience. Be aware not to push it down. The warning is, some have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Listen to your conscience. That uncomfortable feeling, that gut check moment. I shouldn't be doing this. I should be listening to him. Exercising self-control. That helps us in the fight. The Holy Spirit will often influence you and me through our conscience. We should listen to it. Lastly, third thing to help us in this fight, keep your eyes fixed on your captain. When Jesus was on the cross, the devil thought he had won, right? The devil thought he had won, but then the resurrection happened. Death has been defeated. Oh, death, where is your sting? Christian, trust in the Lord. Trust in Jesus' promises to you. Jesus promises this to you. And there's some people who need to hear that. Stop fighting and striving in your own strength with your weariness and your heavy ladens, and go to the Lord and he will give you rest. He has already done it for you. He has already claimed the victory. And when you go to him, know the promise of John 6, that he never rejects those who go to him. So go to him. Pray continuously and go to him. And remember this truth, you're not in the fight alone. You're not meant to fight alone. If you see a Christian brother or sister struggling, go to him. If you are struggling, humble yourself and ask for help. You have a good captain. So onward, there's a wonderful hymn, right? Onward, Christian soldiers. Keep pressing on with that in mind. Jesus has the victory. Let me pray for us now as we end. Heavenly Father, that is a wonderful truth for us to just know and get a hold of. Jesus, you've won the victory. Sometimes it feels like we have to fight the fight alone. Sometimes it feels, man, who else is in this fight? I pray, would you stir up the hearts of my brothers and sisters and stir up my heart to help us look around us and realize we're not meant to be in this fight alone. Help us to look up and keep our eyes fixed upon you, Jesus, and remember, eternal life is already ours. Jesus, thank you so much that you have qualified us already. Help us to look to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.